So, Jake, this Yankees offense, they're boom or bust, right? Well, hang on just a second here, Jake. Aaron Judge, Bellinger twice, Stanton twice. I mean, thank God he's in the lineup. Caballero twice. We were just talking about him before the day off, but just the day prior, how good he's been. He's out there in a start, homers twice. Jazz, Ben Rice. Jake, is that 9 home runs? And I think before we hit the live button, you were actually just talking to me about the fact that the Yankees were the first team in, was it baseball history? To homer baseball 9 history. Baseball history to homer 9 plus times and surrender 0 home runs. So obviously props to our pitching staff, pitching in that environment and not giving up the long ball. That was like a huge storyline, and obviously we're going to get to that. The Yankees beat the brakes off of Shane Baz, and this is his second straight poor outing against the Yankees. We beat him 13-3. That game was not close. 16 hits for the Bombers. We're now 5 games back at Toronto. It feels like we're almost, there's a force field at 5 games, but it's not out of reach, as much out of reach as you thought, right? Boston loses to Baltimore 4-3. Jake, I know I kind of gave you the news there. You thought that Boston walked off, but it turns out Boston loses. So that is some good news. Obviously, ahead of that series, we have one more game against Tampa, and then we see them. Seattle loses to Philly. Wild card keeps looking better for the Yankees. And we're now, you know, just speaking of Boston, we're now 2 up in the loss column. Now, all this could just mean nothing if we go up to that Boston series at the stadium and lay an egg, and that's the objective truth. But it's good to sort of, as a prerequisite, to be winning ahead of time. That's a good thing. Now, the man of the hour, I guess you should say, outside of the offense, was Carlos Rodon. Our pitching staff's not been good. He went 6 full. Finally, Jake, we get some length. And I know it started off a little sluggish there, all the sweating. But 6 full, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks. His ERA is now to 3.24. Pretty serviceable. And by the way, guys, if you are just joining us, please be sure to subscribe and like this video. We're giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice, fully customized, at 10,000 subscribers. I know we're not very far. I think we're under 390 away from that. So we really appreciate you guys. And of course, if you're with us with Apple Podcasts or Spotify, be sure to drop us a 5-star review. And of course, we're going to talk about the discrepancy between Aaron Boone's comments on Aaron Judge's arm and then the comments that Aaron Judge gave himself. They were very different. And that's not what we're used to in Yankees world. It is usually cookie cutter. Everybody puts on the helmet, as you like to say, Jake, and says the same thing over and over again. So we're going to talk about that. But what do you think right now? Because obviously the prompt, are these games mattering? Do we need these games, right? Does beating up on the Rays in ridiculous fashion, is that something to get excited about, to beat your chest about? I'm going to say yes, and I'll tell you why, Jake, real quick here. If we were losing these games, everyone would say how bad we sucked, and rightfully so. You have to beat the Rays if you're going to go anywhere. If you're going to be a contender, you can't lose these games. So, Jake, I think this, again, I've called this a prerequisite before. You have to win these games leading up to this Boston series. If you don't win these games and you go up to Boston, why would you think that anything better is going to happen? How do you feel, Jake?
I feel great, Gary. I feel like I'm about to get burned saying this, but I feel like this is the start of their turnaround. I really do. It just felt different today. It wasn't just Shane Baz. I mean, they were still hitting home runs when he came out of it. There is a feeling in the air looking at this team. They're riding the momentum like we were hoping they would following their road trip to St. Louis. And I understand this is not a great team, but you know, you have Caballero hitting 2 home runs in a game. I mean, you could just tell they're really feeling it right now. I was really impressed with today's game. I mean, Rodon got into some trouble early on, like he did his last start. Really did a nice job of settling down. Just feels like everything's kind of coming together at the right time. And, you know, obviously they were kind of running out of time. So it hasn't been done yet. Like, they're not in first place in the AL East, and until they are, I won't say that they've turned a corner yet. But I think they are getting to that point where you have to start being like, hey, yeah, you know what? This team definitely is showing something. And when you have 9 home runs in a game like this, and just how infectious that gets, I mean, That has to mean something to just out of the blue, you know, after you win your three games in a row, coming off a you know, an off day, it just felt like they really reaped the benefits of the off day, and then they all were just feeling it. And I said it, you know, before we went live, Gary, you look at, you know, these exit velos by Judge, and it tells me this dude's back to form. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, 112, 112, 110, and then, of course, 106 off the bat. When Judge is having four barrel balls, and not even barrels. I mean, think about that. 95 or more is a barreled ball. When you're going to that, when you're hitting three pitches for 110+, that's how you know you're really making solid contact. And Judge is just a freak of nature. And obviously, we knew he was going to, you know, turn this thing around. I think he's back, Gary. I think Cal Raleigh better stop celebrating if he was celebrating too early about winning the MVP. I think Judge is about to go on a tear. And right now, I think the two guys I want to talk about the most on this show tonight is Giancarlo Stanton, who is having the best stretch of his Yankee career. And I'm going to say Cody Bellinger, who I'm going to say right now, and I don't care if this is a hot take or whatever, Cody Bellinger is one of the best things to ever happen to an Aaron Boone Yankees team. And I'll take it a step further. Cody Bellinger is a better baseball player than Juan Soto. And he proves it every single night. He's a better defender, right? I trust him more at the plate right now than I trust Soto. I think Soto's more explosive. But, you know, the idea that you lost Cody Bellinger, or excuse me, Juan Soto, and you and I were like, wow, you know, you got to go get Kyle Tucker. I don't think we were wrong, by the way, in saying that. I thought that was just kind of a perfect opportunity for them. But you get Bellinger, and Bellinger has pretty much replaced Juan Soto. Not the home runs, right? Not the power. But you're seeing it. And when you factor in the defense, I mean, this is one of the better players in the American League. And I don't think people realize it. Tonight, he went 4-for-5. Absolutely nuclear. And it's guys like that that get the party going. And, you know, when you're like, oh, you know, you hear Michael Kay say, Ben Rice joins the party. Yeah, what is the party? It's when guys like Bellinger, guys like Judge, and guys like Stanton are lifting up the rest of the roster. And I think guys, you know, were feeling the presence and, you know, kind of feeding off that energy.
Yeah, so you talked about the concept of replacing Juan Soto and just if he's a better player. I think there's also a such thing as being a better player for what the roster needs. Because if you think about what the Yankees really need, do the Yankees really need another left-handed slugger? Like, is that what you would look at the Yankees and say, that's the big problem, is that they don't have that lefty bat to really slot into the lineup? It's not really the Yankees' problem. The Yankees' problems all year, especially when they lose to bad teams, they've done that the entire season. Good, bad, all of it. They don't play fundamental baseball. Well, you know who's never been a problem as far as the fundamentals go? Cody Bellinger. And you see some of our supers, and we're going to get to them. Obviously, Apex, he mentions he doesn't care about Kyle Tucker, right? And we're going to put that up on the screen. But when people talk about these players and how good they are, something has to be said for how good that individual player is for the roster that's around them. Right now, this Yankees team cannot afford to have Cody Bellinger off the field. We've seen him have off days. We've seen him be sick. The Yankees don't look like the same team without him on the field. You have some random player thrown out in the left field. The defense doesn't look the same. The team doesn't look as athletic. The contact isn't there. And Cody Bellinger's putting the ball in play all the time. That's what the Yankees need. Is Kyle Tucker a solution to some of those problems? Absolutely. He's a great overall player. But the way the Yankees are looking at their issues right now is that it's an either-or situation. Kyle Tucker, is it Cody Bellinger? And that's sort of what we're getting thrown into, that it's you get one of those two players because they're both expensive. And I understand it, right? You can't just purchase every player, I guess you can say. But I'm going to say this. The Yankees, if they're going to go anywhere, Cody Bellinger has to really be the lead front of that. I get it that Aaron Judge is considered he's the best player on the team because of what he does with the bat. But as far as overall value to his team and what they're bad at and what that individual player excels at, Cody Bellinger's the most important player on this roster. We need a starting left fielder. He's your starting left fielder. You need to move him to first base because someone's banged up and Goldschmidt's got to come off the field. Cody Bellinger's your guy. No one is more valuable today, in this day, than Cody Bellinger. And of course, that can change when Aaron Judge gets back on the field and he's throwing the ball and playing at his peak level offensively, both offense and defense, but he's got to be in right field to maximize that potential. So Cody Bellinger has proven he's a mainstay in New York, and whether or not you guys are comfortable going $250 million, $200 million, whatever the number is going to be, I just think the Yankees right now are sort of in jail when it comes to this guy. You have to retain him.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, we're not talking about Blake Cech here, but you have to take care of business there. I mean, he has been so important. His presence is felt, and he's one of the leaders of this team. I mean, he's not listed as a captain, but I think we kind of forget that, you know, these guys, these veteran presence, right? We always hear the term veterans and, oh, they're veteran presence and experience. Well, Cody Bellinger isn't just like, I don't know, who's a good veteran guy that you're just like, yeah, he doesn't really play, but he's just a good veteran presence. Udonis Haslam.
Is it Tommy Pham? I don't know. I don't know if our audience actually saw that whole exchange. We'll talk about it.
Some of them did.
The
did you see? I was posting this. Like, someone was like, was it John? John was like, yeah, he's going to get your pops on you. Tell your pops on you.
Yeah, apparently he just thinks that 31-year-old adults can get grounded by mom and dad. It's pretty interesting. So, yeah, well, of course, silly. We're going to dive into it. I wanted to throw this up on the screen because I see William Wallace just poking out with some positivity. This is good. And by the way, guys, we don't have any aspirations to convince you guys to be positive. We just don't. But there should be a mix, right? There's going to be some things that are just horrible about this 2025 Yankees team. And mind you, we go get the brakes beat off us in that Boston series. There's going to be some bad to talk about, and we're going to talk about it. But also, there's some good, and some good happened today. And then we're going to get to our supers here. But William Wallace, welcome to the show. I know you listen to our show quite often. We really appreciate you being here. It says, today's lineup construction was great. Always good when Jazz and Volpe are towards the bottom. So, yeah, right. That's where I think, Jake, you introduced that idea that there's nothing wrong with Anthony Volpe. If he's going to be in the lineup, there's nothing wrong with committing to the fact that he's a bottom of the order guy. There's nothing wrong with committing to the fact that Jazz Chisholm doesn't have to slot into the four spot because he has power, right? Or going to the top of the lineup because he has speed. There's also value in doing those things, to sort of William Wallace's point here, at the bottom. It lengthens out your lineup, and it creates a better dynamic in a more well-rounded offense. So the Yankees offense, as much as we score this year, Jake, your dad introduced the idea that, yeah, we score a lot, but we need to find ways to score more important runs. Well, this is one of the ways you can do that. So I think it's cool that William's bringing this up. Jake, what do you think about this idea? Because you love Jazz. You said there's potential for stardom, but now you look up and he's hitting seventh on this team. Are you cool with that? Is that something that needs to change?
Yeah, I think he looked better in that spot today. I mean, obviously, I'd love to see him, you know, become the star that I think he can be in this league. But, you know, he was really struggling, and I'm glad they docked him down the order a little bit. I mean, I don't know if I'd put him below Goldschmidt, but Goldschmidt,
fair.
Context needed. Goldschmidt against a righty. Like, we're talking like Ted Williams when he's against the lefty, and that's not even like a joke. Like, his exact numbers are almost evident with Ted Williams.
And the
Williams.
Pops there against lefties. So that would make a lot of sense. Today you didn't see that. You saw Baz, and yet Goldschmidt still finds his way up there. Now, maybe the Yankees just wanted to create a dynamic with Chisholm, Volpe, Caballero at the bottom, and you obviously see five hits between the three. So there was a lot of production there, and maybe it wasn't the difference today. Obviously, we killed them. But it helps. And so I want to get to our supers and just get it let off with Ninja Hot Dog with the five. Really
love,
appreciate it. Love the dog. Says, Torpedo Bats must be back or something. Obviously laughing. Is it just me, or did it look like Caballero was laughing after he dropped that pop-up? Stanton better play tomorrow. I didn't see the laughing from Caballero because, as I've said before, we have this dynamic with Devin Williams, right? And the laughing in the dugout when we were losing. All I care about, if guys are going to laugh, we better win. You guys, if you want to drop pop-ups, you want to I'm just telling you guys, the only thing that matters to me is the result. If we win a World Series, if we get through the championship series, we win a division series, and you guys want to laugh like hyenas on the bench in the process, by all means, I don't have a stick up my behind and I need to see everyone marching left, right, left, right. No, you guys can do what you want. Wear your hat backwards if you want to, if we win. But when we lose, now I'm going to circle the block and say, are we taking this serious enough? And then obviously the conclusion there is that Stanton needs to play tomorrow. Jake, you were talking about this earlier today. Michael Kay, I don't know if you saw the coverage, wasn't thrilled with the idea that Giancarlo Stanton, somehow they can't figure out a way for him to play three games out in the outfield and then he's down for 3 days. It's insane that they haven't figured out what's going on. But he is absolutely, you mentioned this is the best he's ever looked offensively. He should be your DH every day. You have to find a way to get Judge in there with Stanton. I get it. The arm issues are happening. You've got to get creative. It's really insane what he's doing.
No, absolutely. To put it into context, home runs, he's got 13 when starting, right? He's got one pinch hit home run. Guess how many starts he has?
How many?
37.
This season?
He has 13 home runs in 37 starts. What are we doing when he's not in the lineup? What, like, seriously, I want to know. I want to be told. I want to have you take me through your process as to why the hell this alien is not in the lineup. He is an alien. Well, they
called it a good problem to have, remember?
It's not a good problem to have. It's just idiotic. His OPS is now over 1,000. He is now batting 306. He has a 386 on base. I have the splits right here, Gary. You want me to leave? Like, I can just keep rattling them off. Oh, by the way, guess what? Runners in scoring position, 1,000 OPS. He's hitting 318. When men are on base, 1,000 OPS. He's hitting 284, right? Like, two outs, runners in scoring position, he's even better. 294, 400 on base, 929 OPS. Tie
sounds
game,
a whole lot like 1,000 OPS. It sounds a lot like it's not really a conversation about contribution. It's more of, can we get this guy to just really manage his health? And it seems like when the Yankees say, and again, I agree with you, I'm on your side here. When they say it's a good problem to have, oh, we've got four outfielders, we're going to play all of them. We've got two DHs, we're going to play all of them. We've got two first basemen, we're going to rotate them over to DH, right? These are all good problems to have. Why do they say that? Because we can manage health better. Well, how important is it to be sitting here managing health by giving guys frequent days off when you're five games back in the division? So I think Giancarlo Stanton right now is playing quality enough baseball where if he was just slotted in at DH every day and you just move everyone else around him, it would have won us more games than it would have lost us this season. I think that's fair to say. Giancarlo Stanton starting, I can't even remember how many games you said, but it wasn't more than 40 games. That's not good. And I get it. He's been hurt and he's been banged up, tennis elbow. We understand that. But the Yankees also have just wrapped him with bubble wrap and haven't given him the opportunity to play, not in right field. I understand it. Clearly he was banged up from doing that, and it's insane to me. But to not have his bat out there, I mean, he's probably our best hitter, if not our second best hitter, in our lineup right now. He's just lethal.
Yeah, he's absolutely insane. He's John Wick with the bat right now. That's what he is.
Apex, did you see? Apparently, people were tweeting me. I don't know if you saw it. I didn't. I kind of turned it off there.
He hit his knee. So I was on another show, but I had it on the iPad and I was watching it. And it looked like it hit him in the knee, but apparently I don't know where I was today because I also thought the Red Sox won. So I don't know what planet I'm living on currently.
Well, I mean, if he hit a baseball square into the family jewels, as Apex put down, De Los Meatballs, I highly doubt for anyone who's been hit like that, that he would be standing. And he was standing, so I doubt it. I do.
I really doubt it. I see. You're talking because he also fouled a pitch off his kneecap. Did you see
that? Okay, so that's what I saw. So is there another play that I missed? There must be.
They're saying that. Come on, we shouldn't be calling Delos Meatballs. I mean, he's not.
Why not?
He's not that level. But Yeri De Los Santos, they're saying that he just hit him when Rice was catching.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know, but I missed that.
I mean, what would you day to day? You got hit in the balls. I mean, I don't. It just seems. I get it. It doesn't feel good. But
that
I mean,
goes all the way to your throat. Like you feel it. Like it's
so he's
brutal.
Not feeling great at the hotel right now. Is what we're saying. So maybe folks might see Austin Wells. Yeah, maybe. Right. Maybe you see him tomorrow. I'm not sure. Apex says, I don't care about Kyle Tucker anymore. Belly is better. I've long been saying I'll take both of them. That would be my take on it. And Carlos Rivera, thank you for the two. Really appreciate the super. Slim Lewis with the five. Thank you, Slim. Says Bellinger's career postseason batting average in 242 at bats is 211. Calling him as valuable as Soto is a horrid take. Yes, he adds to this team, but come on. So I want to have a disparity here. Because, mm-hmm. Jake, I'm very curious to know what you think about this. Because this is something I think that has value, right? This is a valuable argument that's on the opposite side of the coin from us. Is that there's a difference between being valuable. Like, you win most valuable player, it doesn't matter what you do in the postseason. Like, certainly, if Aaron Judge was a free agent, and I don't know, Juan Soto was a free agent, and they were both 25 years old, well, who's the most valuable player? Who's going to get more money than the other? Aaron Judge is going to get more money. It's as simple as that. It's not up for debate. And yet, the postseason batting average, which obviously you're alluding to, and it's quite the big sample size, right? But having said that, Barry Bonds didn't hit in the postseason either. And Juan Soto is not the more valuable player. He's just not. So I hear what you're saying. What you're saying really can't be disputed as far as results go. But as far as when you go to free agency and it's time to pay a player, they're not simply going to judge a player based on what he does in October, right? Because otherwise people would be lining up to trade for Giancarlo Stanton. They'd put him on ice and let him DH for their team. They don't do that because of what he does for 162. So, Jake, what do you think about this?
No, I think it's fair what Slim is saying, but it's also not entirely what I was saying because essentially defense is a big thing on that. Juan Soto is hitting .251 last time I checked, .389 on base percentage, about an .880 OPS. He's got 30 home runs, so about six more than Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth having absolutely god-awful, atrocious defense compared to a guy who could probably win a gold glove at four different positions?
Well, he's certainly the better player this season. I think everyone agrees. The disparity between Soto and a Bellinger would be that Soto has a ceiling offensively that obviously isn't being tapped into in 2025. We sort of saw what it could look like the year prior, right? Obviously, he had Judge behind him. That will help. Mm-hmm. But when you're hitting .285 with 41 homers and you're also executing in October, so you were great in the regular season. You were great in October and you were serviceable defensively because you were playing a shallow right field at Yankee Stadium. Now suddenly your value can be propped up, but in those down years, like you have a year like what you're seeing, .250 with pop, like he's going to hit 35 homers. Cody Bellinger is a better player. He's an elite glove, elite arm.
Yeah,
he's an elite
90th
base runner,
percentile, by the way,
yeah,
for fielding.
Great player.
Juan Soto is the only one who's lower than Jason Dominguez in the field.
That's interesting, which is, you actually brought it up that SNY's broadcaster, like, oh, yeah, not a very good fielder. I'm like, and you brought
I
up the fact
that
it seems a little
I love
odd
that,
that you guys would be criticizing, considering the fact if you guys assume you're going to get him and you did, you're going to be covering that.
Yeah, Keith's like, why are they playing him in right field? I don't know why. He's not a right fielder. He's like, oh, that is not a good play. Soto's out of position. Well, you get what you deserve if you've ever seen Joker before.
And Armando Gomez with the five, also a member here. So, Armando, thank you for doing so. Says, looks like Rice will be off tomorrow. Didn't look comfortable after taking that foul ball to the side in that final at bat. So, yeah, he didn't look comfortable. And by the way, I'm going to say this in defense of Aaron Boone, okay? And I don't defend Aaron Boone often. And for those of you who listen to our show, you know this. You know this. I'm perfectly okay with players not playing that actively get injured the day before, and it's we can visualize that. If Aaron Judge runs into the outfield wall and we're like, oh, he's banged up there, and he's not in the lineup tomorrow, you really think I'm going to sit on Twitter or I'm going to sit on our podcast and I'm going to mention, why is he not playing? I have my evidence as to why. You can just get behind the mic and say he was banged up on that play. We can live with that. But what we can't live with is you hitting two home runs at the DH position, and then the following day you're just not playing because they just simply say, we want to give him a day. This will handle. If Ben Rice doesn't play tomorrow because he took a ball off the family jewels and hit a ball off his kneecap, is anyone really upset if he physically can't go? We can live with that.
I can live with that. It is annoying that it's like if Rice isn't getting hit, he's fouling off against his team. He got hit by the Rays the last time they were at George Steinbrenner Stadium. He got hit like five times. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah.
And then he finally got something going where he lofted a fly ball to right field. It was over the wall and Caballero robbed him. He literally has never had any good luck against them, but he did hit a home run today. Boy, did he ever. And I think that's the thing is, like, obviously, if he can go tomorrow, he should be in the lineup every day. He's fantastic. When he's in the lineup consistently, you can see, like, he's growing. Right before our eyes, he's developing. He's one of those guys you just got to keep playing. And, I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch. He really is. This whole lineup really is right now. I mean, I really like what we saw. I mean, even out of Rosario. Rosario's been on the IL. He comes back. There's a double, you know. Grisham, obviously, he didn't have the best day today, but, like, you know, tomorrow will probably be a day where, like, Grisham goes off or whatever. You know,
Grisham Judge was the only guy who didn't have a hit, actually.
I know. Judge had two hits. Bellinger went 4-for-5, right? Stanton knocked in 4 ribbies. I mean, Ben Rice had the home run. Jazz Chisholm had 2 hits and hit a home run. Caballero had 2 home runs. Volpe got in on the... Today was 16 hits, 13 runs. I mean, they walked, what, 5 times, 9 home runs?
This is what we're talking about, Jake. Look at the screen. Yankee Fangirl for life saying, and then they already said Stan isn't playing tomorrow. So again, scheduled days off. And they already knew before the game started, this is how we're deploying this talent. We hate that. I don't like it. I don't think it makes any sense at all. And that's exactly what I was getting at. So
no,
when
awful.
Armando brings up that Rice may not play, that's based on evidence. That's based on an injury we watch. Stan, on the other hand, it's something phantom. It's maintenance. It's an oil change. That's not how the Yankees should be taking care of these players. I just think it makes no sense. And Izzy with the 5, really appreciate the super. Thank you. Says, these are the best conversations in baseball, not just Yankees baseball. Let's see who they are after the Boston series. I call Fugazi until then. So this is exactly right. None of this will matter in hindsight if they lay an egg against Boston. If they go out there and split against Boston, we probably punt that to the following week. But having said that, if they show up and they give up 3 or 4 or they get swept, they shouldn't get swept. That'd be pretty ridiculous. But if they do, we'll cover it. And that would just nullify everything that you just watched. This Tampa series would mean nothing. Tomorrow's game would mean nothing. The series before with Minnesota, nothing. They would all mean nothing because you have to, all contenders have to do one thing, Jake. They have to beat the good teams eventually. Eventually, it has to happen. You cover the NFL, same deal there. If you never beat the contenders and then you beat a bunch of bad teams in the regular season, guess who you see at the end of the year when it really matters? The contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So this matters. So Izzy, thank you for the compliment. It's greatly appreciated, obviously, with the super. Jake, I think we're all in agreement here.
Appreciate you, Izzy.
What do you think about this Boston series? Because I'm curious to know, your expectation was a split, I believe.
It's right? The season. They have to at least split. That's not asking too much. I don't care what anyone says. They can't win 2 out of 4, you know, in the Bronx. I'm sorry that they have me right now. They have me. They've reeled me back in. They're 5 out of the AL East. I think Toronto is susceptible to giving this up, and I think they're starting to feel the pressure. They already passed Boston, right? And then you look at Seattle. They passed Seattle. They have the number one wild card spot right now. But my issue is that if they go to Boston, or they go to the Bronx, and they lose to Boston 3 games out of 4 or get swept, then I just have to assume that it's just not in the cards this year. They might slide into the third spot in the wild card, but I don't want to get them in trouble for something they haven't done yet, but I need to make it very clear. This 4-game set is the season. This 4-game set to me, and the reason why I say it's the season, because we're not, you know, we're talking Yankees baseball here. We're not talking about a team that, like, oh yeah, they might make the... No, I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs, but any hope of them bringing home the 28th World Championship is gone if they don't make any sort of momentum push against the Red Sox in this series.
I think we have the biggest game of the year actually in this series. There's one game I've circled.
Crochet.
I have actually, believe it or not, I'm not sure if Crochet's throwing the same day, but it's Max Fried. I think if Max Fried shows up in this series and he delivers, and mind you, he's been dismal since the break. He's been dealing with the blister. We covered that right when it happened. Jake, your perspective was he should sit down. We need to get this right. I know it's not the right time, but it's better than having to deal with this in late August, and that's exactly where we are. So having said all that, if he shows up in this Boston series, you've mentioned spin rate has just collapsed on all 5 of his pitches, every single one of them. Unanimous. If he goes into that Boston series and he delivers a quality start, you're talking really 6 innings of work, and he delivers and looks like an ace, I think that game, and I know the rest of the series will matter, I get that, but if Max Fried shows up and doesn't pitch well, I think it unravels. I do. And so this is good, right? We go play Tampa. If they lost these games, we would have freaked out. They're taking care of business. That's a good thing.
They and still need they have one more.
They've got one Rasmussen. More tomorrow, but we haven't. We can't get them in trouble, like you said, for anything that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
If they go out there and take care of Tampa, people are going to say that's just Tampa. And you know what? They're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out and beat Boston, suddenly those series with Tampa and Minnesota and the Cardinals and whatever have you, those series become big. Now it becomes a win streak that's actually warrants paying attention to it. So I'm excited for this start. Obviously, you hate to look ahead in the baseball season because there's so many games, but I cannot wait for this Boston series. It's going to be so much fun. And I know our audience, win or lose, they're going to be here. So Izzy, again, thank you for the super. And Yankee Fangirl for Life with the 5 said, did you see the post-game show? I believe, Jake, I don't think you saw it. I didn't see it. Boone didn't know we hit 9 home runs today. I mean, that doesn't bother me. I mean, that just doesn't. I
lose track, too.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? I mean, I had to sit there and count in the box score after the game. And yeah. Jazz got hits but looks careless on defense often, which is true. But, I mean, I don't want to get critical of Jazz until it's time. In my opinion, Jazz was part of the solution today. And I think that's fair of us, Jake, to cover players. And we did this with Anthony Volpe, right? Anthony Volpe will have 6 days in a row where he looks like a really good player. He's hitting clutch homers. And people want us to dunk on him still because of what happened a month prior. And we always tell folks, we're going to cover what you do in the short term. And then we're going to try and say it doesn't mean anything until it's long term. Well, Jazz Chisholm, if you don't buy it, right, because Yankee Fangirl for Life says, not sure if we should keep him, I'm not going to sell anybody on Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm's got to sell us too. He has to perform consistently, and when the lights are brightest, he needs to play, as you said, smarter defense. He needs to play smarter baseball. So, Jake, I know you love this Jazz pickup. I know you probably agree with this too. Jazz has to play his way into our future.
I agree completely, because if he doesn't, you know, then there's a certain guy that we just talked about on our last episode, and I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't be the first time they traded for an infielder from the D-backs. So, Ketel Marte could be in play. Volpe moving to second could be in play. I still think that's something. See, when that was mentioned, people really got upset with it was Bowden that mentioned it. People got upset in the comments, like, Anthony Volpe at second? But think about it. If Jazz doesn't show the Yankees, and mind you, Gleyber Torres did enough, in my opinion, as a hitter to have been brought back last year. He was one of the best, and for a team that didn't have a leadoff hitter the entire season, the way he finished the season, he's a top 3 leadoff hitter in baseball. So they don't bring him back. Well, if Jazz doesn't get it together, they're not going to bring Jazz back either. They might even trade him. And so that's where, yeah, Volpe, who they have not thrown out the door yet, they're giving him every opportunity to earn a spot for the long haul. And you're seeing what George Lombard, you know, Jr., you know, does defensively. And you're like, well, he's got way more range than Volpe. He should be at shortstop. But the question is, how far away is he? Well, if you're saying you have one more year of Jazz Chisholm next year and Anthony Volpe's at short, well, there's a real possibility where the Yankees will just offer Jazz a qualifying offer, knowing full well he's just going to decline it. Then they'll get that comp pick. He'll go sign somewhere. And then keep in mind, that's 2027. That actually falls in line where George Lombard Jr., his ETA is. I know we sped him up a little bit and said, oh, yeah, because he looked really good in spring training. But realistically, if we're being honest with ourselves, the best thing for George Lombard Jr. is to be called up in 2027, in all likelihood. He'd be your shortstop. Volpe would be your second baseman. Or you would just trade Jazz and you would acquire a Ketel Marte or somebody else who will become available because that is the winter. But the point being, if Jazz wants to remain in the Bronx, and I'm a huge fan of him, but I'm just a realist here, he's got to step it up. And, you know, having those kind of lackadaisical throws, and I understand they won 13-3, so I'm not going to put too much on it. But, no, I totally get it. Because you could say Paul Goldschmidt needs to do a better job of scooping it, but why is that in the dirt anyway? You know, and so I get it. I do.
Yeah, and so obviously, and my mom's telling you guys to hit the like button. So, yeah, thank you, Mom. Really appreciate it. And Marion, obviously with the two, our favorite Marlins fan, says, Yanks doing load management like we're in the NBA. Yes. Yeah.
Not happy
load
about
management
it,
yeah. is... It's really a concept. Load management really doesn't mean anything. But no. In the NBA...
Sounds ridiculous,
they
too.
Started a system, and for those of you wondering, how the hell did this start? It's really the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich, decided that Tim Duncan is up there in age, right? Kawhi Leonard dealing with injuries, even as a young player. And these are great players, all-time greats. We're going to sit games that we perceive as being less important during the regular season for the greater good down the stretch. That's the concept. And there's nothing to prove that it works, because if you watch the Yankees, as I said earlier, it feels like they've got three DHs. You have two first basemen. They told us that Ben Rice couldn't play anywhere but first base, so he and Goldschmidt were just splitting time over there, right? You've got Cody Bellinger, Trent Grisham, Jason Dominguez, Aaron Judge, and you're like, well, this is a great problem to have. And Michael Kay covered it and said, well, you can't call it a great problem to have. A great player is on the bench every day. So it's a problem nonetheless. And yet the Yankees think that load management is going to tee them up to win enough regular season games, just enough to where when they get to the end of the year or even in the postseason, all of their key cogs are healthy. That's their perception of what's going to work. They're doing it with Giancarlo Stanton. They're doing it with Austin Wells and Ben Rice. They did it last year with Trevino and Austin Wells. It's simply load management. So I'm glad that Marion brought this to the table. This is true. I don't like load management, because I think what it tees you up for is preparing your body to do less. Like when you go to the gym, you need to push your body to the max. And guess what happens several months from now if you stay consistent? Suddenly that max is no longer the max. You can go further than that. But yeah. What if you show up and you walk on the treadmill? Well, you're not going to be able to run a triathlon down the stretch. You just can't, because you're not pushing your body. So I get the concept. Guys are banged up. They want to attend to it. I understand the concept. But I think what Marion's bringing up here is the fact that you can't just bubble wrap everybody and expect to hit the ground running and go on win streaks and win a World Series. It just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. I've always hated load management. And again, we talk about it all the time. Right? How this is in, you know, obviously it's a sport and it's a business, but it's also an entertainment business. The idea that you're going to spend $40 on chicken buckets. Yes, I jacked up the price by $10. Sue me. So $40 chicken buckets.
It'll be there soon.
Then, like, if you're like me, like, I live in the capital region, so it takes about 3 hours to get to, you know, the Bronx. And I don't like driving in New York City at all, so I take the train. So I'm paying for train. I'm paying for the chicken buckets. I'm paying for the cost of the ticket. And I get there, and what do I see? Giancarlo Stanton's not in the lineup. Judge is in the lineup.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Like, so I get why people have an issue with it, and I think it goes beyond. And then people will say, well, you got to do whatever it takes to win. I mean, is this any different than what we were talking about with the whole rev up process? If you're just all of a sudden like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to, I know you've been playing every single day and everything. We're going to take you completely out of your rhythm and just slow you down. I mean, the worst thing that you can do is, and they might not believe in hot or cold, but you listen to Michael Kay on the broadcast, not today, but just in general, he knows just as well as you and I do, Giancarlo Stanton is a hot and cold player. He is a streaky player. He is the definition.
Oh.
When he is hot, I don't think there's anybody scarier in baseball. I don't. Because if he hits a missile, it could kill you on impact. This dude literally is scary in every meaning of the word.
I don't know how fans even do it. I've had a dude, I mean, I brought my 2 month old. Well, I mean, we were at the game.
Yeah.
And a fan jumped over my 2 month old daughter at Yankee Stadium for a foul ball. The ball just caromed off their chest. And I'm like, are fans not afraid of the baseball?
It's insane to me. I don't want to be anywhere near the baseball.
No, if you have a glove, then by all means, stick your hand out and catch the ball. I mean, yeah. But I mean, if you're going to the baseball field with a glove on, I mean, you probably have bigger problems, but you get the concept.
Or you're a little kid, and that's justifiable.
If you're a little kid, that's perfectly fine. But obviously, I mean, there's grown men on YouTube who go into the field with gloves.
And they take the ball away from the little kids that we're talking about. Yeah. Well, and Gary, also, right? I'm thinking about hospital bills, man. I'm not trying to get my finger put back in place and broken bones and all that. Are you kidding me? It's expensive. I'm staying away from that. It's expensive, and it's expensive to go to the games. So no, I'm with you on that. That's funny. You and I definitely see the same on that. But there are people that are always like, oh my God, one-handed catch with the beer in hand. I'm like, I've already, don't look at me. I've already dislocated my finger catching a fly ball barehanded in the outfield. So, you know.
I mean, I would like to be that guy who's eating and then you catch the ball.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's cool, but, you know.
But also, you go to Yankee Stadium and your hand gets practically ripped off. They tell you when you go to hockey,
Izzy
not
knows.
To that stick your hand as the puck goes out there. Wait, what? The copay is no joke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not trying
to
pay that.
So I want to tee up tomorrow's game because this game's very important to maintain momentum. I think everyone understands it. This is baseball. We're under, I think Izzy earlier today said any game under 40 games remaining is a big game. And I agree completely. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Those Dodgers games against the Rockies, those are big games in their division, right? Same thing over there. It's the same thing for us. All of it is necessary momentum. So I'm looking at this start with Cam Schlittler, obviously Rasmussen starting for Tampa. This is a really good arm. This guy is, when you look at what happened today, we beat the brakes off of Baz, and that's great. But you also show up the next day and you see one of the better arms in the game, somebody who's going to think around and be trying to keep the ball in the yard. So you're going to see maybe some disparity between what it looks like when the Yankees offense gets it going versus a grind fest. Tomorrow, in theory, should be more of a grind fest mentality. And even more importantly here, Jake, to kind of tee this up, Cam Schlittler is going out there and starting a game with a rested bullpen. He doesn't have to go six innings tomorrow. I get it. We want to rest people going into the Boston series, and it would be ideal if we can go out and get to Rasmussen. But at the same time, if he needs to go, maybe he gets to five innings, barely scraps it. It's okay to go to the bullpen in the sixth when you've got all those guys healthy and ready in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think you need all hands on deck. I mean, Rasmussen, I don't know if people are aware of what he's done to the Yankees. He's 3-1, 31 and two-thirds innings pitched, 6 games pitched, 0.85 ERA, 38 strikeouts, and that is it. He just dominates. And Aaron Judge has one hit against him. Volpe is 0-9. Aaron Judge is 1-9. Goldschmidt's 2-7. Bellinger's 1-5. Chisholm's 0-4. No one has a home run off him in the entire lineup.
You know what? Good. Good. Because it's a great test before the Boston series. So I know this game against Tampa, it doesn't... we're not going to draw any conclusions, but everyone has the understanding that the Yankees are boom or bust. We're going to hit 9 homers, then the next day it's 1-0 in the 8th. The Yankees have to prove to us, and more importantly to themselves, they can show up to Yankee Stadium, they can go on the road in a series where maybe you're overmatched on the other side, you can grind out at bats and find ways to score. You're going to have to run the bases. What Jazz and maybe a Dominguez, what Cody Bellinger, what their Anthony Volpe, what they're doing on the bases, that's how you guys might score tomorrow. It might be the difference. So I think this is a perfect test for the Yankees. They may show up tomorrow and just completely look overmatched, or they can prove something.
It's true. And by the way, longest outing this year has been 6 innings. So it's not like this guy's been going 8-9 innings, and if you can't hit him, you have no chance.
6 innings. Wow.
6 innings. I just went through and I checked everything. I mean, it's either 5-6 or... Yeah. Although he had a rough July. 2-2-1-4-5. Yeah, so his August has been a lot better. His July, he had a 4.15 ERA. His August is a 0.52 ERA. So he's been very good against the Dodgers, against Seattle. He's given up 11 hits in 3 games. So he gave up 3 hits to the A's, 4 hits to Seattle, and 4 hits to the Dodgers. And he only gave up 1 home run, and that was the only run that he gave up this month. So it's not going to be easy. Yeah, he's been really freaking good. Like, that, I like how you worded that, because that's kind of what I look at. This is a barometer of where you are. If in the past, what would the Yankees do? They'd come off a 13-3 drubbing, and they're just sleepwalking. And then you're sitting there, Gary and I are texting, we're like, how are we in this game? It's like, I'm not complaining, but they're awful. They're like, they can't buy a run, and yet it's still 0-0 in the 8th. We don't want that. Tomorrow, just take care of business. You know, if you can keep the bullpen intact, great. Helps you against Boston. If not, just get the damn win. We don't care how it's done. I don't care how much bullpen they use. I'm not looking at the strategy of it. You can't look at strategy anymore. These games now all need to be won. It's that simple. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to throw this up on screen because Devon had a really good point that I think deserves some credit here. So Devon says, I don't think Jazz is a problem. Some guys just need a coach who means business and holds you accountable. And I think we've all dealt with this. I mean, you guys have watched the movie Coach Carter. You looked at all those players. They're troublemakers. There's gangbangers, the druggies, people not showing up late, showing up late to practice. And what were they at the end of the movie? All prepared and ready to play because of leadership. Now, this is a movie and not real life, and you guys get the concept. But you cannot look at players and just assume they're going to hold themselves accountable totally. You need to have leadership in place. There's a reason we said, oh, Aaron Judge, you're the captain, right? You have to set a standard for high play. You need to look at your teammates and not just suggest, but you need to demand they bring the effort as well. Aaron Boone, you're a player's manager. You tell us that they text each other, oh, we're texting. Okay, great. So if you have each other's phone numbers and someone does something that's not accountable, you should be able to communicate that. So I agree completely with this. This is not just a Jazz issue. If Jazz is really a problem that can't hold himself accountable, someone needs to go over the top of him and hold him accountable themselves. So I'm glad that you brought that to the forefront. Really appreciate it. And Jordan with a super with a 5 says, I think it's dumb that Max Fried deals with blisters, but every time the camera gets pointed to him on a day off, he's gripping the baseball pretty hard. So yeah, he just seems like one of those kids in high school that's like always holding the baseball, or they walk around the football with a football in their hand in high school, just walking always around. He loves the game. I mean, that's the reason it's happening. But I think right now with Max Fried, you're not going to be able to sell us anything. It's all results oriented. The pitch speeds are there, right? The spin needs to be there. The stuff needs to be there. So what you say post-game, none of that's going to matter. You need to go out there and deliver. So that's the reason why I wanted to tee up the start, because if he goes out there again, Jake, you're going on now over a month of very bad, very just a poor Max Fried. And the Yankees, this team, you can't go anywhere without your ace.
If that's the case, I don't even fault Fried, because that's on Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone for not getting him on the IL. He's not healthy. He's not just getting blown up. Like, we have the stats to prove it. He's not healthy. If he gets blown up again, yeah. I think that's it. But I want to give Gary the floor. Story time with Gary, a new segment, everybody.
Oh, you wanted to talk about the Twitter.
The Twitter, yeah.
All right, well, let me go to it, because I do have some of them bookmarked. So for those of you who missed it, okay, Tommy Pham, he pimps a walk, right? I believe it was a 3-1 or 3-2 count. And there was a second-year pitcher who walks him, and he didn't like the call, right? And we've seen that. You see that all the time, right? You see Rodon, Fried, any pitcher we've ever had, Garrett Cole last year, they complain about calls all the time. Doesn't matter who's back there, what the staff is. And apparently, just paraphrasing here, Tommy Pham doesn't think that he thinks it's disrespectful for players to argue balls and strikes when he's hitting, which I think is ironic considering the fact that players argued balls and strikes for, I mean, I can think of 150 players better than Tommy Pham, and Barry Bonds takes at bats, and players argued all the time, that's a strike. And they say, no, it's not. And then later on, they go, yeah, Barry knows the zone. But to take it as disrespect, I thought obviously it was ridiculous. And so I replied, trying to find, of course, well, actually, I can read his reply because I thought it was ridiculous. He said, bitching about a ball not being a strike to the umpire when it's clearly below the zone in a way is disrespectful, not only to the umpire, but to the hitter as well. So like I said, when I flip the bat, F him, dude has 2 years in the show, I know the zone. Is this prime Barry Bonds talking, or is this Tommy Pham? This is insane. This is nuts. To be talking like this on Twitter of all places, you don't even get an opportunity to provide context to this ridiculous statement. He just tweets it and walks off. And he expects no one to check him because he slaps people over fantasy football. But that's neither here nor there. Oh, now, man. This is where I come in. And I said, there is no way this is a real tweet. And I said, you can't complain about the zone out of respect for Tommy Pham. Yeah, folks complain about the zone pitching to Barry Bonds. What makes you special? Get out of your emotions and into your common sense. I didn't disrespect him at all. I essentially told him there's no reason for an emotional response whatsoever. And Tommy Pham eventually says that he is going to call my dad, and he's going and to check me, essentially, and then proceeds to say that my dad gave him the green light to me. He actually tweeted that, and I have it right here.
Which means he's threatening you.
He is threatening me. A grown man who, how old is he again, Jake? Is he 37?
He's 30. He's as old as Matthew Stafford.
And Tommy Pham legitimately thinks that I am going to be petrified of what he may or may not do. He is mistaken. Severely mistaken. I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. And I'll tell you what, guys. I enjoy... Remember Marcus Stroman? I think it was Jazz, actually. Jazz brought up, we need to bring fighting back into the game because it's more old school, right? There's rivalries. I clapped for that. I thought he actually had some merit there. Now, what you're complaining about seems to be important. If you're bat flipping a walk to a second year player, why are you getting into spouts with a player who just got into the big leagues? He wants a call. He's not looking at you. Yeah, I'm a man. I'm 40. Why are you getting upset in this moment? It doesn't make any sense, Jake. So, again, I don't hate Tommy Pham. I woke up this morning, wasn't thinking of Tommy Pham.
I texted you earlier today. I was like, you know what's the funny thing? We've talked positively about Tommy Pham on the show. We've actually were like around the deadline, like, yeah, I don't know why. He plays for bad teams, but he's a good player. Like, somebody should go out and get him. Of course, that's when he, you know, before he ended up turning into mid. And, you know, it's like, it's funny. My dad was like, oh, looks like you can cross that guest off the list. It was like, yeah, I didn't want his 700 OPS either.
guest off the list. Hey, welcome in. We went from Jabba Chamberlain to Tommy Pham.
My dad was kidding, of course.
But, of course he was. Because yeah. Nobody wants to listen to Tommy Pham on any podcast. So that's really the gist of it. And of course, guys, just be a decent dude. It's really that simple.
That's probably why he's been on 10 teams, as that's being mentioned in our chat.
Right. And that's certainly a factor. You have to fit in somewhere. And I'll tell you right now, not everyone else can possibly be the problem. If you talk to one person, then the next, and then the next, and then the next, and you find one thing wrong with each of them, perhaps you should just say, maybe I'm the common denominator. Hey, Tommy, you are the common denominator. And I know that you think that you're not, because you're willing to walk into rooms and assault people and threaten them on public platforms, which is silly, because you'd think at some point he'd have PR training by 16 years in the league. But obviously he doesn't. Obviously he does not. So I'm sure, I'll see him on a golf course somewhere. And I don't know. I hope he attacks me. I want to retire early.
Yeah, what is it? He has $41 million career earnings, and he's on Twitter picking fights with you?
And saying he's going to tell your dad. After taxes, that's like 25. After he assaults the next two or three people, it'll be 12. The money goes quick.
Soon then he's just living on the street.
Right.
Oh, man. No, I just couldn't believe that. I was truthfully blown away. If it was like one of the young players, I remember 49er, what the hell's his name? Kinlaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine, Grant Cohn, covers the 49ers. And Kinlaw went on his show, Javon Kinlaw, and was basically like threatening him on his show. And he's like, I didn't like, you know, the coverage of me or whatever. And Grant just, you know, he stands on business like you do. Like, it's like, I'm just doing my job, you know? And yeah, that was like but here's the thing. Kinlaw was a young player. I'm not like condoning it, but he's a young player, right? Fam, we're talking 37. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? Like, why are we?
That's another aspect of this, Michael. Thank you for bringing this to the attention. He also accused and deleted this tweet, by the way, accused a player, and I believe it was the catcher at the time.
He absolutely hates young players. That's what I'm gathering.
He accused the player of using PEDs because at the time he was like part of the exchange. What player in baseball or any sport for that matter goes public with what another player is doing with their body?
That's who so does weird. That?
No, but I mean, obviously, I don't even have to go into detail. You're clearly in the wrong. Like it doesn't make any sense. So obviously, Tommy Pham is going through. He's going to start his career. He's going to go through the middle and then the end, playing it out the same way. And he thinks he's in the right because he's made money, obviously, in this job. And of course, I'm rooting for him to be successful with his work, as I'm rooting for everybody else. But Tommy Pham, the person, yeah, not a normal dude, not a good dude.
No, that was, I would say that was disappointing, but it's not like I was like invested in him at all or anything, but
I'll rip down my Tommy Pham fat head. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
I know. They didn't make one. Okay. So, you know, I was going to do the comment. By the way, story time with Gary, everybody drop a thumbs up if you enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty good. Brand new segment there. It just kind of evolves. So next time, story time with Gary will be insert random person here. Okay. I don't actually think, did we cover the Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone thing?
No, we can touch on it real quick. I mean, we don't have to dive in it for 20 minutes. Because, I mean, today's a great day. You win 13-3. But when they were talking about it and they asked Aaron Boone, do you have the exact quote? Because I don't want to just paraphrase him and...
I mean, I don't have the exact Boone quote because I don't know why I can't find it anywhere. But
okay, well, I guess we can paraphrase.
Yeah, basically, he was saying that he doesn't expect Aaron Judge's arm to go back to form this year, in a nutshell.
Yep, not back to 100%, I believe is how he said it. Yep.
Aaron Judge, on Aaron Boone's comments earlier today, according to Brian Hoke, quote, "I don't know why he said that. He hasn't seen me throw for the past 2 weeks, so I'm pretty confident I'll get back to 100%, end quote. Boone said just now, maybe I overstated that. So the reason why Yankee Universe is going ballistic over this is because this is so uncharacteristic for both parties. Judge is a company man. He says the PR stuff, and I'm not saying Judge didn't go Tommy Pham here. Let's not make it out to be something it wasn't. But he clearly was kind of like, huh? Like, you know, and Aaron Boone, we talk about him all the time, like sounding like a damn NPC. So the fact that like he actually got that comfortable on the airwaves and said that when he hasn't seen, according to Aaron Judge, and I believe Aaron Judge in this one, that he hasn't seen him throw the past 2 weeks. Well, I mean, that's just weird. So obviously it didn't impact today's game. Maybe it's a little bit of a fire they needed. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that happened. And then I started seeing this getting retweeted by Red Sox Twitter people. And they're like, oh, here comes the implosion of the Yankees. It's like, you got this backwards, man. This is not the implosion. We needed this fire. And then sure and enough, 13-3.
Exact quote. So there you go. So Hollow, thank you for obviously retrieving the exact quote so we can read it up on the screen. Really appreciate it. And obviously being a member as well, says we're trying to get through where he can let it go with ease and be able to protect himself. So, and I don't think we're going to see him back throwing like he normally does at any point this year. So that's really a statement based on knowledge that you must have. Now, when Judge says, and this is the interesting part in my opinion, when you say that exact quote, and Cheeky, yes, he was displeased. When you say that exact line, that is stating, with the information I have that you guys don't have, I think this is the conclusion that I would draw, personally. And then Aaron Judge comes out and says, well, you don't have any information.
Yeah.
That's actually, you want me to just, I'll paraphrase it in one word. I'll just describe it. That's called being called out for lying.
Yeah, essentially.
That's a simple lie, which is what most people say. It's what Clint Frazier just tweeted today. His tweet, and I have it literally right here. Clint Frazier says of the matter, kind of supports my comments when I said that they're just making shit up when it comes to these injuries, end quote. It's exactly what he said. So when former players say, oh yeah, they just make it up. And then Aaron Judge says, that's not the case. He hasn't watched me do any of that. What does that tell you about the person who's leading the group? He's just making it up. So it's disappointing. Extra salty, welcome in. I know you're late, but...
So sure you think they were lying to us about Stanton? Because, I mean, he clearly looked fine. He had 2 home runs today.
I have no idea what's going on. I think that's the safest thing for me to say. Not that maybe they're lying to me, that I just never have the full picture, ever.
No.
They'll just never give me the information that I would need to know, should I bring my daughter to the game? Should I bring my wife and daughter to the game tomorrow? Because I can look at the news and all the stuff coming out. They'll never give me the necessary information to conclude what's going to happen the next day. They just let it happen. And so I'm glad Judge did this. I thought that was a nice step in the right direction. And it kind of separated the two in a way. And I don't want it severed to the point where the season's ruined and there's no chemistry. But at some point or another, the captain needs to be the captain and just show up and talk the truth.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just surprising. It's like I almost didn't even mind it with Boone because it led to this. And I feel like they need stuff like this. Like, I know that sounds weird, but like Jeter, for instance, would be absolutely against this type of stuff because he'd call this a distraction. But the reason it's a distraction, it's only a distraction when you have things together. You're only distracted by something on the outside when everything's going well. When things aren't going well, sometimes you need just anything to kind of get going. And I think Judge kind of felt this. And I think you saw he kind of played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder today. And I mean, I could be absolutely wrong. This just could be Judge. But I mean, I could see it. And I could see like Stan when he's up at the plate. He doesn't look happy. Like, yeah, I'm going to be taken out of the lineup tomorrow. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, these are grown men, right, who have accomplished a lot in their career, and they want to be a part of something. And Judge, he's not an idiot. He sees he's getting older. Every year he's getting older. He's getting closer to retirement. And the clock is ticking. Time is, you know, of the essence. And if you think that with Judge, imagine how Cole feels watching a whole season fly by and there's nothing he can do. He is sitting there in quicksand and he is just on the bench and there's nothing he can do. And a Stanton who's getting up there in age, it's like you start to see how those guys, those pieces could really, you know, maybe explode. And I think we're, you know, today was a really good, you know, movement on the right track. I mean, again, you sweep, like we said, that was huge because essentially it nullifies what I believe should have been a sweep against Minnesota. So then I had them winning 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. They're right on the track that I set them on. Right on it. Okay? They've won six of their last 7, right? So that's a good look right now. And again, going back to our prompt here, does it matter the Yankees are beating up on bad teams? Yes. Because I just saw a graphic today. They were comparing the Colorado Rockies to the... It was either the Rockies or the White Sox to the Dodgers over like a 30-game stretch, and they're almost identical. So yes, it 100% matters.
That's where the margins are. You end up losing a division by 2 or 3 games. Because I don't know where you guys think the Yankees are going to end up in the division, whether you think we're going to... We're down 5. If we actually take care of Boston, then you'd say, okay, well, if the Boston series goes well, where do you expect this Yankees team to finish? How much do you expect them to lose the division by? And some people will say 3 games, 2 games. Well, you realize that the games against the Rockies, the games against Minnesota, St. Louis, what we're doing against Tampa, they matter the exact same, right? Obviously, there's a full game swing when you go play Boston, and that matters even more so, but they've got to win these games. So I'm interested to see, obviously, what happens. According to the early reports, we're going to get Stanton on the bench tomorrow. We don't love that.
Awful.
And then if Ben Rice is banged up, and we don't have any conclusive evidence if he's going to play or not. I certainly hope he does. But again, maybe the Yankees say, let's get you tuned up for the Boston series. We don't know. They did that in Kansas City. So it'll be interesting. But with Rasmussen out there, you're going to assume no Stanton. Maybe you get no Rice. What does the Yankees offense look like tomorrow? There's more pressure on the remainder of the group. So I'm excited to watch this game. I have no expectations whatsoever. I'm done providing expectations. I just cover it in hindsight. I'm a hindsight Hank. But Jake, what do we want them to drop? I'm going to do this. How about this? What do you expect from the Yankees offense tomorrow against Rasmussen? Drop in the comment section what they're going to do in his 5 or 6 innings. Jake, you said the most he's ever pitched is 6 innings this year. What do you think they're going to do against a really good arm tomorrow? Because that's a big test.
It's tough, man. I'm going to go with 2 runs.
Well, I'd love to hear better than that. But be sure to drop that in the comments. And if you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. We're giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice at 10,000 subscribers. And Jake, is that it? Just like the video?
Yeah, just like the video.
Yep.